So in the last, well, the fourth, and I think that this year is going to be the last of our episodes going through the Haggadah of Pesach. Just, we've been through the entire journey, really, of the Haggadah, or at least its major themes, I should say, up till Pesach Matzah Morah, right? So we've explained that the journey of the beginning, the first part of Seder night, which is completely focused on generating the questions and turning us into people who are on a quest. The next part, going through the four psukim, the four verses from the farmer's first fruit declaration, which is the Torah's own miniature summary of the story and how that focuses on different aspects, how we got into Egypt, how we were crushed, how suddenly in that moment of being completely crushed, something within us jumped all the way to the creator of the universe, to Hashem. And then how Hashem actually pulled us out of there, ripping away all the laws of nature and creating something new. And that's what we're meant to relive each Seder night. Now we've talked about how that comes back into Pesach, Matzah, Morah, the questions the child asked at the beginning, the key questions the child asked at the beginning in the original version of Manish Tana. There's a fourth question as well, which is really to stimulate the one who's not asking questions. But that's a whole different discussion. But the main point is we've now re-identified the meal. What is the Pesach? What is the Matzah? What is the Morah? The Pesach was our saying to God, we're not going to be subject to all the natural limits. And we've discussed that. Matzah, then God lifts us outside of time to be a timeless nation. And Morah, we taste the bitterness of the way the world is. Right? You can't grow if you don't realize what we're missing. Right? And that's the key. Now we come to the last parts of the Seder night. Which quite a lot of us still, we say them, every generation, we're all meant to feel individually like we came out of Egypt, like we are part of that process. And this has so many layers, right? We quote a pasuk, you should teach your child on that day saying, and literally the word Haggadah appears in that pasuk, right? You should do a Haggadah, teach by Haggadah, your child on that day saying, because of this, because of all these foods, Pesach, Matzah, Morah, Hashem took me out of Egypt. And me means I'm coming out of Egypt. Now, what does this mean? So there's a lot of levels. The simplest and probably the most broad truth in this is, as we said before, coming out of Egypt is not really just an event in the past. It's something that identifies who we are today. We are all part of the Jewish people, all part of Klal Yisrael. And it was Klal Yisrael that came out of Egypt, the collective oneness of all of us that came out of Egypt. So we identify ourselves, not just, oh, I'm Daniel Rowe, I was born a few decades ago. Who am I? I'm Yisrael. I'm a part, a piece of this massive thing, this thing called Yisrael. And my memory goes back to the fact that we were born in Egypt. I came out of Egypt. That's its most plain, simple, and unbelievably profound meaning. This is my identity. My identity is not me as an individual. My identity is me as a part of this thing called Yisrael, born in Egypt. I came out of Egypt. Another layer, perhaps on a more mystical, spiritual level, but it connects to the first layer, is we kind of traveled back in time. Our opening declaration in Halach Ma'anya, which we went through a few episodes ago, was literally, we're eating the last meal in Egypt, the way the Rashbam learned it. We're here in Egypt. This year we're here, next year we're going free. And we're meant to bring our consciousness and perhaps our subconsciousness and spiritual level to cross space and time. We travel time and we're there in Egypt in the last meal. This is not just something we remember, but we're reliving it and we're joining in and becoming a part of it. We are, as we sit with the food, we are part of that meal. We're coming out of Egypt right now. There's a third dimension to all of this. And they don't contradict each other. They complement one another. And this is something that came out a lot in the 18th century, both in the Hasidic world, which was could bring a whole bunch of new teachings or emphasizing things in a very strong way that had been more latent before, but also in the parallel world going on in Lithuania of certain aspects of Kabbalah through the Vilna Gaon. And in different ways, both of them started really emphasizing this idea that everything that happens collectively to the nation on a microcosm happens to each one of us. So if the nation builds a home of God, each one of us is also meant to be a home of God. And you go through each aspect of the struggles and the wars and the battles out there are reflected in inner battles in here too. Now, the mistake of this, we get so into individualism, especially with all the individualism in the world around us, that we forget that it's all the real pictures, the whole is the collective. the nation Yisrael. But nevertheless, this is a truth too. And each one of us is slaves in Egypt. The Degel Machane Ephraim, one of the early Hasidic teachings, says that the word Mitzrayim, the Hebrew word for Egypt, is the same letters as the word Mitzarim, limits. All of us are enslaved to limitations. And all of us have to become free. And just like the tasting the bitterness of the slavery inspired us to say to Hashem, I want to jump outside of it. You know, one of the things we struggle with most in this world is we just accept our limitations. It's like the slave in Egypt. Anyone in this world is some slave. Just you become tolerant of it. Another teaching says that they came out of Tachas Sivlois Mitzrayim, which literally means the burdens of Egypt, but it can also mean the tolerance, Savlois Mitzrayim, the tolerance of Egypt, like modern Hebrew Savlanut, right? You can learn to tolerate imperfection. Just say, oh, it's okay. I give up trying to be greater. Like the person who's so addicted, they're in such denial to even know they have a problem. Or a person who could be great, but is so afraid of the journey to greatness. They're like, oh, I'll just deal with non-greatness. So we're meant to realize we're actually enslaved by this and it's holding us back and we can come close. We can climb to the level of connection to Hashem, but we have to first feel that we want to get out of it. So on all the different levels, we're meant to feel we are personally part of this journey out of Egypt. And notice something incredible. The pasuk we quote, V'igadat alavincha, tell your child on that day saying, because this God took me out of Egypt. We've met that pasuk 4 times already in Haggadah. We met it as an answer to the cynical child. Now the Torah gave a different answer to the cynical child, but when we reach this Rosh HaMahu'im, he says, what is this stuff to you? We said, tell him, because this God took me out of Egypt, me, and emphasize me, he should get the message. With that attitude, he never made it out of Egypt. Leave loy. Iloya Sham Lehaya Nigal. If he was there, he wouldn't have made it out. It really belongs in the Torah to the Eino Yadea Lishol, the one who doesn't even know how to ask questions, the one who's not seeking and searching. At Psachla, you open up for them saying, because this God acted for me when he took me out of Egypt. And try and get him excited. Really? What is this? I'm interested. We then use this verse to identify which day you meant to do Seder night. We had a little medrash that said, Yochel Marash Chodesh, you might think it should have been, we should have started talking about Seder night 2 weeks before Pesach. Because in Egypt, that's when God said to them, originally start preparing. Talmud Lema Bayomu says, no, it's got to be, Higadol Avincha, teach your child Bayomu, who on that day, which day, the day you offer the Pesach offering. Oh, you might think it's in the daytime while you're offering the Pesach offering. No. It's because of this, Pesach Matzah Morah. So we identify the mitzvah to talk about it is in the night when the meal is in front of you. But we again use this pasuk for the 3rd time this verse was used. Then we used it for a 4th time when Rabban Gamliel said, you have to say Pesach, you have to point Pesach Matzah Morah because you have to say Bavur Zeh. We didn't say explicitly, but implicitly, as we're saying, because of Pesach Matzah Morah. This is why Hashem took us out of Egypt. We're now using a 5th time. In every generation, we're meant to see we're coming out of Egypt. The Maharal, it's another Maharal, in the Malbim Haggadah, which is not written by the Malbim, but it's based on his ideas, it actually suggests that the whole structure of the Haggadah reflects this pasuk. For he gathered all of him, so you should do Haggadah, retelling to your child. That's why we have to have questions. So first you do strange things, stimulate the questions, so you can use question and answer, do Haggadah. Levincha, to your child. The Mishnah says, Lifidata shall ben aviv melamdoi. You got to teach the child. So the child asks the questions. The first thing we say is, we have to have a big conversation, a Haggadah. Then we identify which child we're dealing with. Bayomahu, on that date. Then we identify the next part of Haggadah, we identified which day. Lamar, have the discussion. That's the central discussion. And conclude Ba'avur Zeh, because of this, Pesach Matzah Marar. That's the bit of the Haggadah where we did that. Also, Shavli, God took me. That's this bit we're doing now. B'tzeisi Mitzrayim, when he took me out of Egypt, that's when we burst into Halal. Up till B'tzeisi Shalom Mitzrayim, when God took us out of Egypt. So it's the meta structure of the whole narrative. But I want to really make this point. In the beginning, we used this pasuk to strike at the parts of us that Einei Yodea Lishol, not asking questions, not seeking and searching. Or the part that was cynical, because that was also a child not seeking and searching. And we used this verse that's like, God took me out of Egypt to kind of say, wouldn't have been you guys unless you change yourselves. But through the Seder night, we've changed those parts of us. And now the same verse is no longer exclusionary. It's now inclusionary. Everybody at the Seder table can say, Bavurzah Hashem Li. We've changed ourselves to being outsiders, or at least parts of our psyche. were outsiders at the beginning. We've now become insiders. We're coming on the journey out of Egypt. And this is the point we've transcended now. This has not been a message of just information. It's been about the journey of how close we can get to God. God will open the night up for us at midnight, and we are ready to lift ourselves there and become part of this incredible freedom, even if it's only for one night, even if the next day we're back in our slavery. But let's get there. Let's come on this amazing thing. And this is now we open ourselves up and we say, Lefich, therefore, anachnu chayavim lehodos. How do we respond and really prepare ourselves? Gratitude. Gratitude. You want to become free from all the slavery that we're in? Be grateful, Tasha. Be grateful. You want to really, I'll give you an example of this. In our life, it's very easy to become miserable people. A miserable person is a slave. The world is mistreating me. I'm a victim. I can't get out of these terrible things. Can we focus on what we do have? It's an amazing thing. Just make the little mind shift. The Jew says every morning, Moda ani lefanecha. Thank you. Thank you for life. I'm alive. There's lots of people who are facing their last moments of life who would wish to have another day of life, like in our health. I have eyes that can see. We make a bracha in the morning and my eyes see. I can sit. I can stand. I can walk. I recently broke my leg. And the process of recovery, each stage, you can now stand in a shower or sit in it. It's amazing. And then you can by yourself take a few steps. That's amazing. With support, with crutches, then without them, then climb stairs, then hold a little child. Each thing is such a bracha. And we wouldn't trade this for all the money in the world, right? We wouldn't trade our eyesight for billions of pounds. And if we had billions that didn't have eyesight, we'd pay it all to get our eyesight. We're billionaires. And as a Jewish people, we've been lifted to God and to the highest purpose. Yes. There's a lot of hatred to us for it. And when we don't live up to what men are be, the world pushes against us. But what a privilege to be a part of this journey. What a responsibility to have. And isn't it great to have lives of responsibility? Isn't it great to be part of this incredible journey? Can we stop and appreciate what it means to have this, connection to Hashem, right? It's just, chayavim lahoda, it's just, be in Hoidah in an awesome sense of not I owe you, God, but I'm an expression of you. L'shabech, and then to express that over our lips. And L'fo'er, and then to glorify God. Not to say thank you that I have this ability, but how awesome is it? L'romem, and then to lift ourselves as we lift as vehicles of God's revelation. L'hadar, and to bring glory. Say, I'm going to commit my life, God, to bringing glory to you. And I'm going to talk about that. Levarich, to ask bracha, which means I'm going to give, how can you bless Hashem? Hashem has everything. Yeah, but we bless his revelation. Hashem, and I'm going to commit a life that I magnify your revelation. I'm going to start with a bracha. Le'ale, to lift up the world, to be close to Hashem. Le'kales, right? And again, we lose track of even what all these different words are. But le'misha asala v'seinu v'lonos kolonisim eila, the miracle of existence, the miracle of the freedom in Egypt, the miracle of Jewish history, all of this, and the miracle that we're still here to this day to tell the story and able to play a role in bringing Hashem's revelation into the world. He took us from slavery into freedom. From being crushed in groaning pain into being able to have the joy of life. From mourning the loss of everyone around us being killed, the Yom Tov, to be able to have a Yom Tov. And as so many generations, this rings so deeply true this year. As much as any, more than any, mafela from darkness or God to the great light. Knowing what our life should be about, having meaning, mishibud ligaula, from being in a world of exile and being under others into a world of redemption where we can heal and redeem the whole world. Let's say a new song. What do I mean a new song? We've sung this song many times before. The deeper you feel the gratitude, the newer the song becomes. It may be the same instruments, but the passion, the love, the connection, the depth, that's new. And that if we can climb to a place higher than we've climbed in previous years, then we're freer than we've ever been before. We're closer to Hashem than we've ever been before. This is the point. The more open we are, the deeper we go. It's not the same as previous Seder nights. It's the same map, but we can go much, much higher. It's the same opening of the heavens, but we can sing so much deeper. And this is how we open. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Avdei Hashem. We begin the halal as Avdei Hashem. It's not, servitude means ever, to be an evident Hebrew has lots of different meanings. right? It can be the situation of a servant. It can be somebody who's all of Avraham's soldiers and warriors. And in fact, in general, in the Torah, anyone who works for a king is called an Eved, a worker. The principle of an Eved is somebody who lives to manifest the vision of someone else, right? So if it's in employment, the CEO, everybody else is the Eved of the CEO, right? They're the worker for them, right? They manifest their vision. If it's in slavery, then you're an Eved for the master. If it's in a military, an Eved for the commander. Eved always means somebody who lives to manifest the will of something, someone. An Eved for the nation means they live to manifest the will of the nation. An Eved of Hashem means you live to manifest the will of God. Avdei Hashem. We don't want to be Eved of Para, of manifesting Pharaoh's will. We don't want to be an Eved of our slavish drives in our own reptilian brain. We want to be the Eved of the creator of the universe, creating the universe alone. Wow. Yishem Hashem Varach, may God's name, his revelation, be blessed. And so we go through all the way. And then B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim, we go read now, sing the joy of what it means that we came out of Egypt. And then we do something remarkable. We stop in the middle of Halal, make the bracha, in the two chapters in, the six chapters of Halal, and we eat the meal. On a deep level, the meal itself has now become a part of Halal. This is where we are right now. The food that began by stimulating the conversation, the meal transformed the conversation, but the conversation has transformed the meal. And now we will ingest this very food. You know, our physical body is the food that we ate however many hours ago. On Pesach, our body, the vehicle for our deeper self and soul, is going to be fed from all the messages that we've been on. So our meal is made up of the halal that we're singing now. It's made up of the gratitude we have to Hashem. It is made of all of these things. It is the Pesach that allows us to be higher than the natural. It is the matzah that allows us to be timeless. It is the marah that allows us to reject the way the world is so that we can live as partners with Hashem to bring it to its incredible perfection. This becomes who we are. And we have Shulchan Aruch. We go and wash. We literally eat the meal right now. And then after the meal, after the benching of the meal, we carry on Halal. The last four chapters. Why split? And in fact, just before then, there's the meal ends. We're meant to be hitting the moment of Chatzos, the moment of midnight. And we stand and open the door and say, Shavai Chamas Kala Goyim Shalo Yedaucha, which is a pasuk from Tehillim, chapter 79, Ayin Test, where we say that God, what are we saying? What, justice in the world? Well, yes, okay. Those who try to, lo yedaucha doesn't just mean don't know you exist, God. It's much deeper than that. It means those who refuse a connection with you, those who are anti-God in the world. But what we're really saying is this is the moment of midnight. This was the moment when God came into the world and said, all those who want to come to commit to build a better world are going to be free. All those who want to enslave the world and trap it are going to be gone. That's called chema. God doesn't get angry like we get angry, but it means he will destroy in humanity the destructive parts of humanity. And we say, normally speaking, had we not done the Korban Pesach, had we not said we want to be lifted above this God, then we would have been destroyed with it. But when we say, God, we're committed to you, now you can bring real justice into the world because we're confident that we can survive it. We are confident there's enough goodness within us that we can really make this leap. We're open, God. We're ready for this to come into the world. You bringing the redemptive force into the world, your presence into the world. We can sustain. Those who resist your presence will be destroyed by your presence. Those who embrace it will be lifted by it. We're ready. We're ready to lift our lives to you. And this time, says the Sfas Emes, in Egypt, you had to close the door because part of us couldn't deal with the revelation of God. But now we're saying, God, we've been through this. We've been through the history. We're ready to see it. We're ready with the door wide open. Come into the world. We're ready for you to destroy all the evil of the world and to lift all the good with your single revealed presence. And that's what we say, right? Ki achras Yaakov, they've been eating the vision of Jacob. And do that. We're ready to come, tachas shmei Hashem, under the name of Hashem. And then we sing the last four chapters of Halal, which really, now we're taking ourselves to where Egypt was meant to go. It was meant to be 3 days in the desert, bring Hashem's presence into the world, march into Israel and end history. We've now relived the coming out of Egypt. We're ready to do the last chapters of history now. That's how powerful. And remember, we've seen this all the way through from the opening declaration of this year we're slaves, next year we are free, which on the one hand, as Rashbam said, means we're back in Egypt, feeling ourselves as slaves, ready to become free. But as other commentators pointed out, this year we're slaves to the way the world is. Next year we're truly free in Mashiach. it's all the same thing. It's all one journey from Egypt into redemption, into the ultimate redemption. As they in that night visualized the end of history, we are now about to do the same thing. Re-stimulate the energy of the start and the vision of its future. And Leilonu Hashem Leilonu is the first, this chapter of Hallel, which we now say, which is chapters Tehillim, Psalms 115, is all about how to live in this world, resisting the temptation of idolatry and all the things humans worship, silver, gold, money, wealth, fame, glory, lust, temptation, everything. We don't want to follow these idols. We want you, Hashem. That's what we say. And we literally say, Kamoimi, I say, whatever idols society makes, that's what they'll be limited by. That's what they'll become. But you saw B'tach Hashem, our life is we want to trust in you, Hashem. We want you to be our boss. We want to live your story, play our role in your vision. That's the way. And Ezra Maginam Hu, that becomes the shield and the help to allow us to play that role in history. And we say, Hashem Yivarech, this is what we want, Zachorin Yivarech, right? We want to live lives that are blessings to you, Hashem. And we want you, therefore, to bless us through this world. Yosef Hashem Aleichem, Al Beneichem, Bruchem, Natem Hashem, Oseh Shemayim Varetz. You become blessed if you live lives to be blessings. You live lives to trust in Hashem. Hashem becomes, will lift you. Shemayim, Shemayim, Hashem. The heavens are God's, but he's given earth to us. This is our phase of history. Lo Yameis Me'aluka, but we need lives in this world. The dead can't praise Hashem anymore. Only we can. So therefore, our lives are going to be blessings to Hashem. That's our perspective on this world. The next chapter, 116, is the chapter of what we call Chevlei Mashiach, the birth pangs of the Messianic era, as the earth prepares to give birth to something much greater. We talk about that. The pains of death encompass me, right? So the pain that we go through, still b'shem Hashem ekrai, don't stop calling out in your name, God. And so we talk about all of this. Hashem will save me from this death, etc., etc. I'm going to walk with God in the land of life, and so on. But in the depth of pain, I almost gave up on humanity. Feeling the horrors around us, I almost gave up on the world. But I realize the correct view is, as I start to come out the other side, how can I even give thanks to Hashem? So there's a transition as we're watching from the birth pangs of the Messianic era to its beginning. I'm just going to lift up a cup of and just thank Hashem. I'll fulfill all my vows that I made. Hashem, if you get me out of this, I'll do this. And suddenly everything I now owe, I realize those who did lose their lives, how precious their sacrifice was. Right? But on Hashem Kieni Abdechab, I've stayed firm. I'm your servant, Hashem. I'm going to live life to manifest your will. And Yavdechab Ben Amasech, and that's been our generation throughout history. This is what we talk about. I'm going to give you thanksgiving. B'shem Hashem Ekra, call out in your name. That's what we're saying. Chatzis Beis Hashem, B'seichech Yerushalayim, I see the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. That's where we're now heading. Then comes chapter 117, the shortest chapter in the whole of Psalms, the whole of Tehillim. And it's the real culmination of the Messianic era. Hallelujah, Hashem Kol Goyim. All the nations of the world come together to praise Hashem. Ki gavale nechasta v'emes Hashem le'olam ha'luka. The whole of humanity comes to Hashem. And finally, we have chapter 118, which is after the end of the Messianic era as we transition and start to enter the world to come. We begin by Hodul Hashem ki tov ki olam chasta. We thank Hashem for everything. We talk about min ha'metza karasika. I called out to you, Hashem, in retrospect, in the straits, in the dark times. Anani b'amrechav kabi. You answered me now in this huge expanse. All the things that look like, it's a bit, imagine little ants suddenly became humans and they just look at a whole history of how they were being looked after as ants to get to this level. We're now looking back at all the things we cried about in the world and realize we were just little ants living inside this. And now in this expanded space, this is where we now see the meaning of everything we went through. In a whole different perspective. We look at everything. We can't get down time to get to every single line, but this is it. As we say, peacefully shy, they open these huge gates of consciousness. I'm ready to walk through them. We realize, I thank you, Hashem, because you answered me, but there's also an echo. Inisani, you afflicted me. I now understand what all the affliction was about in this world from a totally new perspective. Evan, Masa, Boinim, the cornerstone that was rejected. The Jewish people who were rejected and went through so much. Individuals who were rejected. Like King David himself, who early in life was so rejected, became the cornerstone of the great new building. And we now see God's hand in everything in Yevlosbeinu. This is the day God made. And now we ask, can we please get there? Ona Hashem Hoshiana, save us. Hatzlichona, help us become now a part of this. It's like in this transitional world through Mashiach, can we be a part of this world to come? Baruch haba b'shem Hashem. Yes, says God. I welcome all who lived in the name of God. You're welcome to enter. You lit us. Literally, as well, it is. We bind ourselves to the altar of God. You're my God. You've always been my God. Now you answer me. The voice of what we said in this world of praising Hashem, we now say it again on the other side. So this is an unbelievable transitional journey. And it's the journey we're ready to make on Seder night. Hashem, we're ready to make this whole journey. Okay, we're a little short on time, but there's so much more to say about all the other tefillahs. Look up all the commentaries. You'll see how naturally they play into all of these beautiful messages and ideas. So much. I'm just going to jump actually to the end because obviously you've got these amazing little songs that we sing as part of the fulfillment in the midst of stay up as long as you can, talking about coming out of Egypt, until we begin to start to fall asleep, and then we should go straight to sleep. But this should be our consciousness now until the sleep time. I'll just jump, because only got about 4 or 5 minutes left, to the last two songs of Seder Night, which seem to be unconnected to anything else. We understand why we'd say Amaratim Zevach Pesach or Adir Hu, songs about building the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem should build his temple, or how great he is, or the moment of midnight, right? Tzavahi b'chatzi alayla, all these, they make sense. But why do we sing with Mia Echad Mia Deh? Who knows one? Who knows two? Who knows three? Except, so we say, who knows one is Hashem, who knows two, the luchos, the tablets, and then who knows one, you know, we go all the numbers up to the number 13. Because number means lots of things. And one way of thinking about numbers, I hear Moshe Shapiro Zatzal once said, I once heard him say this incredible thing related to exactly this point. When you look at one way of counting numbers, there's lots of different things in the world. The world is full of plurality. There's some, there's the good, there's bad, there's this, there's that, all diversity. There's another way of looking at number. It's all really one. When you say there's three apples, but you mean there's one group, one set of apples, right? Really, number is all the parts of one whole. Jewish consciousness says we see lots of parts of one. It's all really one. And the symbolism of this multiplicity that's really one is the number 13. The Maharal tells us in the Derech Chaim, in the third chapter, Derech Chaim, his commentary on Pirkei Avos 3:13, he says that if you take a point and expand it in one dimension, it becomes a line. In two dimensions, it's a square with four sides, but in three dimensions, it is a cube that has 12 edges. But what makes it a cube is it's all the 12 are held together. So that holding together, that central inner point, if you like, is the 13th dimension. And so it is with all the Jewish people. So often we have this framework around the number 12, but it's really all 13 all held together. For example, you have 12 tribes who live in the land of Israel, a land where God's presence will be manifest through its very agriculture and day-to-day living. But the tribe of Levi, whose job it is to be the inner point that travels the country, teaching people their Torah and holds the whole system together. Or there's lots of examples, right? Bar Bas Mitzvah, 13 and 12. The years of the Jewish year is 13, right? It's 12 months, but there's a 13th that holds it together with the solar year. Or 13 attributes that take the written text of the Torah and give it a dynamic, living oral Torah. 13 Midas, the Torah is Nidreshes, is analyzed through. Or 13 principles of faith, which again are really 12, but the central one of God's very existence that holds it all together. Or 13 Midas attributes of God, which is really the name Kel, God's name, and then the 12 manifestations of it, or on other interpreted name, Hashem itself, and the other 12. It's this principle. And then you see, without the lens of Seder night, the world is just a mess of lots of diverse numbers and things all over. With the lens of Seder night, it is all one. All that running of God in the world is attributes, different attributes, but there's 13 because 13 is really one. Who knows 13? 13 is this, 12 is this, 11, 10, 9, 8. It's all Echad Miyodea. Who knows one? The person who's been through Seder. The person who's traveled at midnight to jump to Hashem. They know one. We know one. We see it's all one. Which is why in Hebrew, the word Echad, the numerical value of each of the letters is Gematria 13. 13 is one. we see all the different polarity of the way Hashem runs the world, it's all really one. For those who want to see more, you can see even connections between the 13 principles of faith and the 13 aspects of Jewish belief and the 13 principles of Midas of God. You see the Shlach Kodesh if you're interested in the Shah Oisiyas, Emunah, the letter Aleph, he goes through all of that. The Kedushas Levi in Parashat Kisisa, she talks about the association between the 13 attributes of God and the 13 principles to which Torah is derived, other sources, but it's all one. So this song, which sounds like a children's song, is actually the deep consciousness of where we got to on Seder night. And finally, somewhere in the last few hundred years, there's been this ending with Chad Gadya. I mean, and unbelievably, the Vilna Gaon suggests that actually it's very, very likely it's not just a funny little song. Whoever composed it, and I don't think we know who, was hinting at the whole journey of Seder night, from going into Egypt to coming out of Egypt to the Messianic redemption. What does that mean? You see, Chad Gadya, one goat. We talk about two different goats. Like, these are the goats. Does that mean Abba that our father bought, betrays Uzzah with his two currencies? This is really Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov purchased the birthright twice. First, he purchased off Esav the birthright, and then he purchased with a meal the bracha from Yitzchak, from Isaac, right? Who thought he was going to bless Esav and ended up giving to Yaakov. So he bought and betrays Uzzah in with the goat because his mother in the key moment made the meal to Yitzchak of the goat and dressed him in the skin of the goat. This was the key. It was the Gadya, the goat, that gave the bracha to Yaakov. And of course, Yaakov had all 12 sons, but as the name Yisrael at the beginning of the Sedra of Vayeshev, Ela told us Yaakov, these are the prophets Yaakov, Yosef. And the cat came and ate the goat. The brothers were jealous. And generally speaking, they symbolized jealousy with the cat. It was the jealousy that killed the goat. When they killed Yosef, they spilled his blood. And they took the goat and they put the blood of a goat into the goat's skin, because Yosef's clothing was apparently also the goat. And they brought it to Yaakov. And he said, oh yes, a wild animal, like the cat, has killed it. And there's many deeper levels to it. Part of it is the wildness of the jealousy of the brothers. The cat came and killed the goat. They sold Yosef into Egypt. And because of that, we all ended up going down into Egypt. Then, v'ochla kalba, the dog came, that's Egypt, and attacked the cats, the Jewish people, as they were in that broken state. We got attacked by the dog. And we see that Egypt's always compared to the dog. So, for example, when we leave Egypt and it wants to say they didn't harm us, the dog didn't bark. Now, that means literally dogs didn't bark, but it means much deeper than that. Egypt is the dog that was biting us all the way through. And they're the dog in this story that bit the cat. That was the Jewish people who had sold their brother into slavery, gone into Egypt. And this is the Zabin Habba that had all been acquired originally by Yaakov. So you see the transition. And we came out of Egypt. Moshe was told to take the matter, the stick. But also Chutra, the stick came, Vehikon, and did the makos, did the smiting of Egypt. Each one was done with a stick. So the stick came and hit the dog. That's the next phase. And that stick stayed all the way through the first temple, through Bais Rishon, the open miracles of the first temple. But the first temple was destroyed by idolatry, which the rabbis compare always to the fire. For example, when it says they prayed that the passion of idolatry would be gone, it came out like a fire from the Holy of Holies. So the fire of idolatry destroyed that level of the Jewish people in Egypt. It destroyed the first temple. So the fire came and destroyed the stick that had taken us out of Egypt. And then we got rid of the fire through the men of the Great Assembly, the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, who were the teachers of the Oral Torah, which is water, as it says, for example, in Yeshayahu, those who thirsty come to the water, right? Then we talk about the water being Torah. Yarif Kamal Tadikhi, Moshe Rabbein himself talks about it. My words should flow like water. Water is the Torah, the men of the Great Assembly. The water extinguished the fire of idolatry. And they brought us into the second temple. But then came the most productive societies on earth, Greece and Rome. And productivity in the ancient world was always the ox. The ox is what gave humans the ability to have meat, milk, power, fertility, be able to plow. It was always, and so the ox, Greece and Rome, came and destroyed the second temple, the men of the Great Assembly. And that's what put us into this long exile that we're into this day. And that's the next bit. This Osasoy of Shosolamai drank up all the water that had put out the fire of the idolatry, that had that had been just the fire itself had destroyed the stick that had taken us out, the level that had taken us out of Egypt, and so on. And that takes all the way through till the Mashiach, where the Sheikhet, Mashiach ben Yosef, the Gemara in Sukkah tells us there'll be the Mashiach ben Yosef, comes and shechts us and helps us come out into. But just when it looks like we're getting there, comes the Malach HaMavis, the angel of death, and shechts Mashiach ben Yosef. And then when it looks like it's all hopeless, Asa Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem himself says, now you're ready for me to come into the world, and brings the redemption. We should merit, please God, to see it. B'mheira v'yameinu. We should all be elevated, have these incredible elevations of Pesach. And just like we're zeichet to do Pesach, we should be zeichet to do it for real. The Shana Rabba Yerushalayim HaBenuya, the dreams, we should be able to go back in time to there and be lifted with them as they've traveled to us. We celebrated them, they celebrated us. We travel back to them, they were traveling in Zimos HaMashiach. May we all merit to sit together as they did on the very first Seder night in the Beis HaMikdash with HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chavodo v'atzmai, tasting what freedom truly is. May we taste it this year. May inspire us to be lifted in our lives so our lives become part of the great story so that we're all there together. L'shana Bab, Yerushalayim, Abeliyah, Evershav, Achag, Kosher, V'samecha, really wonderful, incredibly elevated Pesach.